listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries.
When the storms within us rage,
you are the light.
You're the master of the waves. You are the lifeline, the mighty God who saves.
Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Morning, folks. Welcome to Lifeline. I'm glad you're trying Lifeline. Line today. I'm always so pleased to meet with you every Saturday morning and talk to you about the things of the Lord. Just want to take a second to tell you that you can download these programs. If you have friends anywhere in the world, they can pick this program up on the internet. Just simply go to WCNO.com, scroll down to the word on demand, click on that. Then you'll see a counter over on the right. Click on that counter and you can pick a date. My son Lana and I, we have about 2 years teachings on here. We have a lot of good stuff. You can podcast it. You can download it. All right, I'm going to talk to you today about faith, the power of faith, or learning how to believe. Look, we just really love you. We come every week just to do anything we can to help you to live the life that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us all to live. That's why we're here. I just want you to know that. I am just trying to help you to grow in faith today, where you can fight the good fight, learning how to believe. The reason why I want to do this is I've worked really hard on faith. I'm 41 years in the Lord. I've read all the faith books. I've searched. I've tried. I'm like the little woman that said, I prayed them healing scriptures till I'm sick of them. Well, that's where I've been with faith. I mean, I have chased after it, tried to learn to believe. And all that years, the really thing that I've learned, it simply comes out of relationship. So I just want to talk to you today about the Lord Jesus Christ and how and why. You can anchor your faith here. You can build your faith on this. You can get on this path, the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to Him and learn from Him. Anchor your faith here. He's the way, He's the truth, and He is the life. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You say, really, Bob? Tell me about it. Certainly doesn't seem to work that way for me. And that's kind of true with everyone. Why do I hardly ever see it? Jesus said all things now. You can see it and receive it if you can believe for it. It's just that simple. The big word here is believing for it. But you must know what faith looks like when you see it. And listen, you have to open your spiritual eyes. The key in everything is knowing Him, knowing Him, knowing Him. It's a bottom line. That's Him. You got to find somebody that you can really trust and depend on, and someone you know that can do everything He says He will do and will do everything He says to do before you have faith in that person. That's just the way it is on anything in life. You have to prove it out. That's what I want to talk to you today. What is real faith? It's faith that's born and empowered through a real relationship with the Master. There's no other way to get it. I mean, you can study, you can learn. You can learn all the techniques of faith. You can memorize every faith scripture. But the bottom line, if you're going to operate on it, if you're going to get up and walk on it, then the real thing is relationship with the Master Himself. You need to know Him like you know your spouse. You know what they'll do. You can pretty much tell if you've been married for a long time, good relationship, work together. I mean, you know exactly what your wife will do. Or you know exactly what your husband will do. That's kind of the way you got to know the Lord. You got to know what you can trust Him for, what you can believe Him for. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you must know and understand, one, that your hope is in to expect real research. Evidence, faith is an evidence. You know, you can't see it, but it's real evidence. You have evidence. If you have faith, you have evidence. Because you know without a doubt, you put it in your spirit. You know, you have evidence. This is what Jesus did, and this is what He says you'll do, and this is what I can trust Him for, what I can believe Him for. You must get yourself in that kind of relationship to operate in the real faith of God. Remember, faith is what you hold on to until the thing that you're praying for comes into your hand. Remember now, faith comes by hearing with your ear. You know, the Bible says, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What that really means is faith comes by hearing with your ear, then hearing it again in your spirit until you get it deep down enough to believe it. In other words, hearing it and then hearing it again in your spirit. Faith starts working for you when you know how it works and what it is and who you are in Christ Jesus. Know what you can trust him for. I mean, really, if you don't get in that position, if you don't know what you can trust him for, you're not going to be a person of great faith. You can't be. You have to know where your faith is anchored. Where will it work for me? What can I be? What do I believe for? I'll tell you, if you really don't trust and know and believe the Master, you cannot. You can spend your whole lifetime studying faith and never get there. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now listen to this. You might say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Well, that tells you right there, it's not, Jesus is saying, you don't need a lot of faith. You don't need much faith as you think you do. But you know what you do need? You need big love. Faith works by love. Faith is powered by love. Faith is powered by God's love. Faith is powered by you, by the amount of God's love that's in you. In other words, do you love him? Do you trust him in everything? What you trust him for is what you can have faith in. How much you love him, that's how much faith you can have. What you've proven out through the Bible, what you know God will do for you, what you know you can trust him for, what you can believe that he's really done. Not just read, you can read. There's a lot of people just read the Bible all the time and don't really believe for anything. You know what I'm saying? They operate what they read, but that's not real faith. Operating what you read is not real faith. Trusting that in your spirit, in your heart, believing that he loves you enough to do what he says to do, that's real faith. That's where we need to get to today, okay? We only operate our faith with our spirit, but we order our steps now with our mind, our will, our ways, and our emotions. What our eyes see, we need real spirit, faith, and power instead of operating all the time in just what we see. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discern. If you're not a Christian, you've already struck out when it comes to receiving from the Lord anything by faith. They're spiritually discerned. So you have to have a sharp spirit to have sharp believing faith. Let's take a look at a basic way of getting faith. It comes from hearing the word of God, and out of that, you have to get power to move your mountain. But if you can believe what you read, Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And in my name, well, you can heal the sick, and you can cast out devils. All things are possible if you can believe. Let's look now how easy it is to get unbelief. Do you see the preacher laying hands on the sick or casting out devils? If he doesn't have enough faith for it, probably you won't. That's just that simple. If you don't see it, not around it, if you're in a church all the time, you never see faith exercise, how are you going to exercise faith? You only believe what you hear. So you have to move up higher on the mountain. As simple as that, you have to decide what the Bible says and believe what the Word of God says. Mark 9:17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he takes him, he tears him, he foams and gashes with his teeth, pines away. I spoke to your disciples, they should cast him out, and they could not do it. And he answered him and said, oh, faithless generation. Wow, that's serious stuff. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? You can tell Jesus is real disappointed here. Bring him unto me. Jesus just doesn't like little faith. He expects more from you if you're a Christian. Now, these people were already powered up. He had already given the disciples power to cast his demons out. So he says, well, oh, faithless generation, you're faithless. How long is it going to take me to teach you this? How long before you listen? You understand now? They had already been given the authority to do this, and they didn't do it. And they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw him, straightaway the Spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foamily. And Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came into him? Now, this is very important. I want you to hear this. It's Mark 9:21, and he said, of a child. Note that, of a child. This demon got into this boy as a child, and often it has cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, it's really always a battle. It really is always a battle between good and evil. It's always a battle in trying to live for the Lord. And the world is always coming together. The world comes at you hard. The world is right in your face. It's really a battle, but you can always win if you trust the Lord. Did you notice this demon in this boy as a child? Or he was passed down maybe through the sins of the fathers through the third and fourth generation. Make sure you use the power of God given to you to protect your children. Plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over their lives and break that generational curse that may come through the bloodline. You have that power when the word of God passes through your lips. That is, if you are washed in the blood and if you can simply believe it. God has given us power. We need to take care of our families. And listen, this is pretty important stuff. A lot of people take it for granted, but Exodus 34:7, God said, I keep mercy for thousands, forgive iniquities, transgressions, and sins, but by no means will I clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now you become unguilty through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, but you still need to break that curse over your family. You know, you can see this down through the bloodline of the family. If the dads are drunk, generally the sons are drunk, you'll say, just like his father, just like his dad. You just look at your own family, or you look at families, in most cases, not all, but almost all cases, sons will be like the dad, daughters will be like the mom. You come right down through that bloodline, and that's simply just the way it is. And if it's a bad deal, you can rise up and break it over. You do not have to follow that bloodline. You can be like my son. Hey, I preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. My son preaches Jesus Christ, him crucified. Hey, it's the way it is. You're going to generally follow the bloodline, follow the father. So if it's bad, if the dad was messed up, the son will be messed up unless you rise up and take authority over that. Notice this demon got into this child as a baby. This is serious stuff. People don't believe it, but this is Bible. Now, this is the Bible. This is the word of God. Jesus asked the question, how long has he been in him? Such a child. As a baby, the demon got into this child. People don't think those things are possible, but Jesus asked the question. The Bible says it is. I might add, this is how most homosexual demons get into children, especially when the household is unstable. They're never born that way, no more than a drunk is born a drunk. It's a deceiving spirit. Also, if the family is mighty in God, he'll try anything to shut down that family. Satan is a hater of all things good and right. Remember that he hates God. He hates all things good and right. He'll do anything to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And this is a tool that he's been able to get his hands on and use. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. You need to break its power. You do not need to put up with it. He wants to ruin a family. He wants to ruin your lifestyle. He really does. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy a family. He don't do that. I mean, the Lord laid down a foundation for us to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Man has his role in life. Women has his role in life. But Satan can reverse that. He's ruined your life. He really has. If you don't do what the Bible says, reproduce, do what we're told to do, replenish the earth, and he diverts you from that and puts you over in a different direction, he's got to you. I mean, he gets into you as a child and begins this. He will do anything, especially a godly family, anything he can do in a family where they serve the Lord, to disrupt that family, to make problems for that family, he'll do it. Mark 8:5, when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick to the palsy, grievously tormented. This is an amazing testimony of a man that's not a Jew. And I wonder some, how did this man get this faith? But he's a very interesting man. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my roof. But you just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to the servant, do this, and he does it. The servant saw and understood the authority that was in Jesus. This man understood authority. And he saw that authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what really we need to do. We need to hear Jesus until we can totally trust, believe what he says. You know, if he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, you need to know that. You really do. If he tells us that he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, we need to believe that. If he says we can really put our trust in him, we need to believe that. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another comforter. and he'll be with you forever. We need to believe that. See, if we can learn to believe Jesus, like this centurion, meeting for the first time, the very first time, this centurion believed, trusted everything he said. He said, you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now, if we can learn to believe and trust the Lord Jesus, oh my, what we can get done today. If we can learn to believe what he said, if we can learn to believe his promises, I mean, really, if we can just learn, put our hope in him, put our faith in him, put our trust in him, learn his words, learn what he said to us. One great thing he promises, you know, he said, he's going away, he's going to build a mansion for us, he's coming back for us. I mean, he said, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. Not only as he come down here on earth, did everything that he needs to do to build the foundation for us to walk on. Now he's in heaven building mansions for us, and someday he's coming back for us. So we're a pretty secure people in the kingdom of God. We have a good place. We're made right. We're put right. We have a hope. We're kingdom people. We have a life. Jesus has given us the life. If you can learn to believe him like this centurion can, you can walk in great faith and power. The Roman centurion said, just say the word only, and my servant will be healed. Now, he had faith in the man Christ Jesus. He knew that his words were superior words. He knew the words of Jesus were superior words. He believed that what he said was totally truth and power. Just say the word. He believed him. He believed everything he said. Jesus marveled. He said to him, I have not found this kind of faith. One that believes like you do is what he said. I've not found one that believes like you do. I've not found this kind of faith. No, not in all Israel. He said, go your way. And as you believe, so be it unto you. His servant was healed. I think his servant was healed that very hour. I think it took great faith at this time to believe that Jesus could heal the servant without even seeing the servant. His words will also be superior when they're flowing through your lips. If you begin to release the word of God over yourself, release the word of God over your family, believe what you speak, believe what you hear, your faith will grow. The word marvel is used several times in the New Testament, but Jesus only marveled twice. Here at the man's great faith, in his own hometown, where it was said that he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief or their little faith in him. After Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, went into the wilderness and beat the devil, and came out and went back to his town to preach the gospel, they didn't believe him. He couldn't do no mighty works there because they had such a little bit of faith, and he marveled at their unbelief in him. And he also marveled over the faith that this centurion had in him. One that really believed in him. Are you one that really believes in him? Oh, I tell you, if you really believe in him, it'll change your world, it'll change your life. It really will. While Jesus was preaching to the Jew, the centurion stepped up and took what he needed by faith. I ask you, friend, when he looks at your faith, what's he seeing? What's he seeing when he looks at you? When he looks at your faith, what's he really seeing? What can you believe him for? Can you trust him for your children? How about your children? What's the condition of them out there today? Because what he looks like, I've been through this too. Don't waver. If you are living for the Lord and your child is not, we have a promise. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he gets older, he'll not depart from it. You trust what the word of God says. You anchor yourself there. You show the child. Show the child worries you. Show your concern. Show it's driving you nuts. I understand these things, but look, we have a word. We have a superior word. We have a word spoken. My God, we have a word from God here. You just trust the Lord for that child, and you go to the Lord and say, look, Lord, I know it don't look good, but here it is. I'm going to lay him down in your hands. I ask you to take care of this son or this daughter. I ask you to help me to bring my child into your kingdom. That's impressive. He'll be impressed with that. Lord, I want you to bring my son, my daughter, into your kingdom. I want him to be saved. I want him to bring him out of darkness. You know what Jesus told Paul to do? Turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. So you know that's what the Lord wants. He said, Lord, I have a promise here. Acts 26:18, I have a promise. You told Paul, turn men from darkness to light, the power of Satan to God. My child's out there in darkness. I want to bring him from darkness to you, to the, you're the light of the world. I want to bring him to you. And that'll impress the Lord, because you know why? You're doing what he said we should do. You're doing what he said Paul had to do. And then you trust that, and God will take care of that child. Can you trust him for your health? You should be able to. Walk in divine health. Trust Him for everything for your health. Is He your healer? Is He your joy? Is He your rest? Is He your hope? How about your finances? Can you trust Him in your finances? You should. Do you have peace that passes all understanding? Peace in the midst of the storm. There's always storms in life. There'll always be storms in life. But Jesus said these words, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I leave unto you." You see, you have it. Can you believe for that? I mean, He gave it. He says we have it. "My peace I give unto you." Reach up and grab it. Pull it in. That'll impress Him. Reach up and say, "Lord, I don't have any peace here, but You said, my peace I give unto you. I want peace. I want it." I reach up and I take that peace now. I pull it into my very spirit now, to my mind now, to my troubled soul now. You said, "Peace I give unto you." But Lord, You gave it. I'm going to take it. Reach up and grab that peace and pull it right into your bosom. He said, "Peace I give you. My peace I leave you." So we should walk in peace. Don't let the world overpower us with trouble. Let the peace of God rest in us. Believe Him. Believe God. Believe God. Kick it to roll and believe the Lord. We're living in troubled times, and He's our only hope and strength. Look, you may be out here today, and you may be facing a lot of problems in your life. You may have a lot of issues in your life. You give me a call here if you're really hurting, if you really have a need. I'd be glad to pray for you. 772-221-1100. Out of town, 888-221-8990. Let me say that again. 221-1100. 221-1100. 221-1100. Out of town. 888-221-8990. If you don't have peace today, and you're struggling, and you're hurting, and you're broken, and you're crying in your heart, maybe I can pray with you. Maybe we can hear from the Lord together. But you give me a call. I'll be glad to pray with you and for you. I'll be glad to stand with you. I'll be glad to fight the battle with you, okay? Luke 17:5, the apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith." That's what they asked you to increase our faith. May I ask, what are you doing to increase your faith? The word said, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Just how much are you taking in? The word says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can you please Him? Do you have enough faith to please the Lord? Without faith, you cannot please the Lord. He says that. You cannot please the Lord. Remember how disappointed he was when the disciples could not cast the demon out of the child? He was really disappointed. And he let him know it real quick. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? So he don't like little faith, but he loves great faith. The word says, without faith, it is impossible. How do we get real good, God-pleasing faith? By hearing His voice. Jesus said, "My word is spirit, and it is life." Now, when you take it in, it becomes yours. You take in that word, and you take in the word of spirit, the word is life. Well, put it down and you own it. Grab it. Hold on to it. When you hear what He says in your spirit or by His word, it imparts spirit life unto you. Your spirit begins to grow to get stronger than your natural man. This is how you get faith. You get more spirit in you than you see in the world. You get so much of the Lord Jesus, so much of His word down in you, that it gives you power to walk on, a platform to stand on. It gives you a sure foundation. It gives you a sure road to travel on. You just simply anchor yourself to what He says, and then you'll just plow right through the world. I'm trying to tell you this. I know this from experience. I can testify of it. It's the way it works. You get rooted and grounded in that word, and you hold on to that, then you'll be like a bulldozer. You'll just plow right on through this troubled world. Your soul, which is your personality, and our mind owned and operated by the five senses, our mind and will become spirit conscious. You convert it. You just keep on the word until you begin to believe it in the natural. You begin to believe it in the spirit. You say, "Bob, how can I learn to believe? How can I know for sure? How can I ever know Him enough to believe?" You must hear and take in the things of Jesus more than you do the things of the world. Own more of the good. As simple as that. I mean, really, get into the word of God. Own that word of God. Stand on that word of God. Don't vary from it. Let the God be bigger in your life than the world. I mean, go out and traffic in the world and get gain, but don't bring it home to you. Don't let it get into you. Stand on what Jesus says. Stand on the word of God. You know, you use the world, but you live for the Lord. You live in the spirit realm. You're a spirit. You know that. You have a body. You live. You have a soul, and you live in a body, but you're a spirit. So you should spend most of your time thinking in the spirit realm, operating in the spirit realm. Dedicate most of your time to the things of the spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body, but you are a spirit. If you're putting more time in the soulish realm, more time trying to please your body, then you're not going to be a person of great faith. You understand that? Put more time in the Spirit. Invest more time here. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Then your way will be prosperous, and you'll have good success. That, my friend, is the big answer to it all. The Word of God, don't let it depart from your mouth. Put it in your mouth. Put it in your heart. Then, now listen, this is a real promise. Then your way will be prosperous. Everybody wants to prosper. Everybody wants to be prosperous. And we have the Word of God says your way will be prosperous. If you order your life according to the Word of God, you will have good success. That's a pretty good promise. You know, to get that promise, what you have to do? Order your life according to the Word of God. Simple as that. Believe the Word. Don't let it depart out of your mouth, is what Joshua said. No, John told Joshua, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Believe it, speak it, live it. You'll have good success. You'll prosper, okay? 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, by knowing Him and of Jesus our Lord. What you know about Him should change your world. I have this peace. I'm telling you, I'm speaking out of experience, and so can you have it. Faith comes by hearing His Word now, enough to believe it. And you need a revelation of who He really is and of His wonderful love for you. Think about this. John 3:16, our favorite scripture, God just so loved the world. What He's really saying is, God just so loved you, my son. God just so loved you, my daughter. He put Jesus to grief for you. Wow. But you're not going to believe this. You just will not put the value on this you need to unless you hear it over and over from the Word of God till you know you're highly valued, you're highly esteemed, you get it down in your spirit. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to live forever. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Father. He loves you. You're precious in His sight. You're wonderful in His sight. You're really somebody. You need to know that. God loves you. I just want you to know that. He really loves you. Look, we really need help in this ministry. It's really, really simple. We really do need help. We're just not getting the help that we need, and we really would appreciate it if we'd hear from you. And we're not asking for a lot, just whatever you think you can spare. To Lifeline, Box 1603, Jason Beach. Lifeline. Yes, easy to remember. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen, please, please help us. We need your help. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida. Or email us at this, trylifeline@gmail.com. Try Lifeline. Just email us, trylifeline@gmail.com. trylifeline@gmail.com. As simple as that. Give us an email, trylifeline@gmail.com. And Bob Allen, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. Don't forget the zip code now, Bob. I'm sorry, not Bob Allen. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, 34958, or email us at trylifeline@gmail.com. trylifeline@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know if you're enjoying the message. I'd appreciate that. Really, I really would just appreciate that. trylifeline@gmail.com. trylifeline@gmail.com. Or send a check to Lifeline, Box 1603, Jason Beach, 34958. Listen, God bless you. We appreciate you. Want you to know that. But we really would like to know if you are learning or getting anything out of this message. It won't take you but a second to send an email to trylifeline@gmail.com. Thank you. We're going to see you again next week. We love you. And God loves you. And you're valuable. And you need to know that. Put your faith in the right place. Put it in the right place. Put it in the Lord Jesus. God bless you now. See you next week.
With your host, Bob Allen. A broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Lifeline, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is trylifeline@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.